Good morning. And welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to those both in person and online, wherever you are coming from, whatever you are bringing with you from this week, we pray you will experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here today. This morning, we welcome back David Schwebel as our guest musician. Marcus is away this week, so we're very fortunate to have you here this morning. And I have a few other announcements. Join us this Wednesday, November the 19th at 6:30 p.m. for a community Thanksgiving service hosted by Hebron in partnership with Byrd Presbyterian and Providence Presbyterian Churches. This will be a time of worship, giving thanks to God for all the blessings he has given us, in recognition that we have been blessed in abundance. At the Thanksgiving service, we will collect an offering and canned goods for the Goochland Cares Group. Please bring shelf-stable food and or a monetary donation for the food bank. Also, join us on November 30th at 5 p.m. for our annual Christmas tree lighting and hymn sing. Invite family and friends to enjoy an evening of festive music and community singing, followed by hot chocolate and donuts. We hope to see you then. And as always, please join us following worship in Holman Hall for fellowship and refreshments. Now, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Please rise and join me as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
The heavens are telling the glory of God,
and the firmament proclaims his handiwork.
Day to day pours forth speech,
and night to night declares knowledge.
Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
The same God who has gathered us to worship now greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God of majesty and might, we join with the worship of angels and saints proclaiming you holy, holy, holy. Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. You have shown forth your glory to us most perfectly in Jesus Christ, who came to be God with us, who died for our sins and rose again as God for us, and now ushers in your kingdom on earth. And so we gather to worship, embody, and proclaim this kingdom. Unite our hearts in worship, lift high our praises, and meet us here this day with your power and transforming presence. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our call to confession this morning: if anyone sins, we have someone who pleads with the Father on our behalf, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And Christ himself is the means by which our sins are forgiven. And not only our sins, but also the sins of the whole world. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name.
Amen. Hear the good news. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I would invite any children forward for our children's message. Now, you do know that we're all children of God, and so there's no age limit on what children means. So if anybody feels like they need an extra bit of children's message in the morning, you're always welcome to come and sit up here. Good morning, my friends. Good morning, good morning. Today we're going to read a story called Just the Way You Are. So let's listen together. A long time ago, in a land much like your own, there was a village. And in the village lived five orphans, a lonely family of fatherless children. They had banded together against the cold. One day, the king learned of their misfortune and decided to adopt them. He announced that he would be their father and would come for them soon. When the children learned that they had a new father and their father was the king, and that the king was coming to visit, they went with wild excitement. When the people of the village learned that the children had a father, and their father was the king, and that the king was coming to see them and told them what to do, they were excited. And they said to the children, "You need to impress the king. Only those with great gifts to give will be allowed into the castle." The people didn't know the king. They just thought that all kings wanted to be impressed. So the children began preparing gifts to offer the king. They worked long and hard to be sure that the king would approve. One of the children, who knew how to carve, decided to give the king a wonderful work of wooden art. He set his knife against the soft bark of the elm and whittled. A small block of wood came alive, with the eyes of a sparrow or the nose of a horse. His sister decided to present the king with a painting that captured the beauty of the heavens, a painting worthy to hang in his castle. Another sister chose music as her way to impress the king. For long hours, she practiced with her voice and mandolin. Village people would stop at her window and listen as her music took wings and soared. Yet another child set out to turn the king's head with his wisdom. Late hours would find his candle lit and his books open. Geography, math, chemistry. The breadth of his study was matched only by the depth of his desire. Surely the king would appreciate all his knowledge. But there was one sister who had nothing to offer. Her hand was clumsy with the knife, her fingers stiff with the brush. When the little girl opened her mouth to sing, the sound was hoarse. She wasn't much of a reader either. She believed she had no talent, that she had no gift. All she had to offer was her heart, for her heart was good. She spent her time at the city gates watching the people come and go. She would earn pennies to buy food for her brothers and sisters by grooming people's horses or feeding their animals. She was a simple stable girl, but she had a good heart. She was full of questions for people because her heart was so big and she cared about everyone. They were all the same to her, the beggars and the rich. She cared for all of them just the way they are. But since the girl thought she had no talent and no gifts, she was afraid that the king would be disappointed. She remembered the villagers' advice and set her mind about the task of making a gift for the king. She took a small knife and went to her brother, the carver. "Could you teach me to carve?" she said. "Sorry," said the young craftsman. "I've much work to do. I haven't time for you. The king is coming, you know." The girl put away her knife and picked up a brush. Do you see her with her brush? She went to her sister, the artist. She found her on a hill painting a sunset. "You paint so beautifully," said the girl. "I know," the painter answered. "Could you share your gift with me?" "Not now," the sister responded. "The king is coming, you know." The girl with no gift then remembered her other sister, the one with the song. "She will help me," she said. Do you see her? She's singing up there in front of all the people. When she arrived at her sister's house, she found a crowd of people waiting to listen to her sister sing. "Sister," she called, "sister, I've come to listen and learn." But her sister couldn't hear. The noise of the applause was too loud. With a heavy heart, the girl turned and walked away. Then she remembered her other brother. She took a book with small words and big letters and went to see him. You see, she has her little book. She looks disappointed. "I have nothing to offer the king," she said. "Could you teach me to read so I might show him my wisdom?" The young sage-to-be didn't speak. He was lost in thought. Then the child with no gift spoke again. "Could you help me? I have no talent." "Go away," he said. "Can't you see I'm preparing myself for the coming of the king?" And so the girl went away sadly. She had nothing to give. She returned to her place at the city gates and took up her task of caring for people's animals. After some day, a man in the merchant's clothes came to a small town. "Can you feed my donkey?" he asked the girl. The orphan jumped to her feet and looked into the brown face of the one who had traveled far. His skin was leathery from the sun. His eyes were deep. His kind smile warmed the girl's trough. I'm sorry, warmed the girl's heart. "That I can," she answered eagerly, leading the animal to the trough. "Trust him to me, and when you return, he will be groomed and fed." "Tell me," she asked the donkey as the donkey drank, "have you come to stay?" "Only for a while. I am looking for someone." "Are you weary from your travels?" "That I am. Would you like to sit and rest?" The girl noticed a bench near the wall. The tall man sat on the bench, leaned against the wall, and closed his eyes and slept.
Can you see this, my friend? After a few moments, he awoke and found the girl sitting at his feet, watching his face. She was embarrassed that he had caught her staring. She turned away. "Have you been sitting there long?" "Yes." "What do you seek?" "Nothing. You seem to be a kind man with a peaceful heart. It's good to be near you." The man smiled and stroked his beard. "You are a wise girl," he said. "When I return, I will visit more." The man did return quite soon. Did you find the ones you were seeking?" the girl asked. "I found them, but they were too busy for me." "What do you mean?" "Well, the first one I came to see was a woodsmith rushing to complete a project. He told me to return tomorrow. Another was an artist. I saw her sitting on the hillside, but the people below said that she didn't want to be disturbed. The other was a musician. I sat with the others and listened to her music. When I asked to talk with her, she said she had no time. The other I sought had left. He has moved to the city to go to school." The girl's eyes widened as she realized who the man was. "But you don't look like a king," she gasped. "I try not to," he explained. "Being a king can be kind of lonely. People act strangely around me. They ask for favors. They try to impress me. They bring me all their complaints." "But isn't that what a king is for?" asked the girl. "Certainly," responded the king. "But there are times when I just want to be with my people. There are times when I want to talk to my people, to hear about their day, to laugh a bit, to cry some. There are times when I just want to be their father." "Is that why you adopted the children?" "That's why. Adults think they have to impress me. Children don't. They just want to talk to me. They know that I love them just the way they are." The king smiled. "My dear, you gave me the best gift of all. You gave me your heart, your kindness, your time, your love. Of course you'll be my child. I love you just the way you are." And so it happened that the children with many talents but no time missed the visit of the king, while the girl, whose only gift was the gift of her heart, became the child of the king. And that ends our story. Well, God loves you just the way you are, and you too, and all of you. That he doesn't ask for anything more than our hearts. So with that in mind, let's pray. Can I see your prayer hands? This is a repeat after me prayer. Dear God,
thank you for showing us
that you love us
just the way we are.
Help us
to give you
our hearts. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your pew.
Let's turn to God in prayer. O Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amid all the changing words of our generation, speak your eternal word which does not change. Then may we respond to all your gracious promises by living in faith and obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah, the first chapter, starting in the first verse. Listen now to God's word. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of King Josiah, son of Amon, of Judah in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in the days of King Jehoiakim, son of Josiah of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of King Zedekiah, son of Josiah of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear friends in Christ, the church is irrelevant. Or at least that's what we've been told. It's not so much that the church is irrelevant as much as the church does not possess those traits by which our modern day defines relevance. We've been told that the church is outdated. Who would want to hear a 2,000-year-old message or read from some dusty old book? We've been told the church is boring. Why would we come to hear some guy speak, sing songs that have not been on any hit charts in over a century? We've been told that the church is small. Who would want to be part of a community that isn't gathering in the thousands? The church lacks the new, the exciting, the big. And so, in the eyes of the world, is irrelevant. Now, in response, many well-intentioned pastors and church leaders have tried to make the church relevant, introducing new children's programs, making worship more exciting, tailoring messages to pop culture sensibilities, implementing new strategic plans. Pastors and leaders go to conferences teaching them how to be more dynamic leaders or charismatic speakers. We devour articles and books promising church growth and revitalization in 10 easy steps. In all these ways, we try to plan our way to relevance, strategize success. But at the end of the day, when we look out over the congregation, when we see those sitting next to us week in and week out, it looks as if little has changed. The only tangible result from these efforts is that we are more tired, more burnt out, with little hope that our ministry will be a success. We are relegated to being irrelevant. Though separated by centuries, I think this same feeling of irrelevance may have been what the prophet Jeremiah was feeling when God called him to ministry. This was but a mere boy from the far north of Judah, the middle of nowhere, not even in Goochlin County. We're talking far out. He was from a sect of priests that were held in derision by the kings of the day. He had little experience in the world, let alone in the things of their faith. Whereas in our day, we prize the new, the fresh, the young. In Jeremiah's days, these were seen as foolish and weak. You needed to be seasoned, have experience to have any weight in political or social matters. By all accounts, he was irrelevant. And yet, this is the one to whom God says, "I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." You may understand then why young Jeremiah reacts the way he does. "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." He was basically saying to God, "How can I ever be a prophet to the nations when I have hardly even left my own hometown? How can I proclaim to princes and kings when I have no social or political position to stand on? How can I pronounce your judgment on people when I am nothing in their eyes? I have everything stacked against me, and yet you expect me to speak on your behalf." Now, what God didn't say in response to Jeremiah was, "Well, you'll just have to come up with a strategic plan." Nor did God say, "Well, you need to take some public speaking courses or be trained on how to be an effective prophet." No. Instead, God said, "You shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command. I have put my words in your mouth." You see, Jeremiah's success in ministry, in prophesying to the nations, would never come from resting on his own laurels, from his family's social or political position, or from any kind of personal charisma or planning. Success would only come because God put his word in Jeremiah's mouth. The Lord would speak through all those things which the world considered weak in Jeremiah to show forth God's perfect power. Jeremiah was saying, "God, I can't speak for you, because if I do, I'll fail." And God said, "You're right. So I'll speak through you." The prophet could proclaim boldly, because the promise was God would give Jeremiah his word. He would give him his word. He would show him where to go and teach him what to say. It would not ultimately fall on Jeremiah's shoulders to accomplish God's will, but it was God's word speaking through him. For it is only when and where God's word is spoken that God's will is accomplished. My friends, this is not just a promise to Jeremiah long ago, but it is a promise to us in the church today. We see a similar sentiment in the Gospel of Mark when Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you at that time, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit." Successful ministry, effective ministry, will not come from our charisma. And I'm going to let you in on a secret. It's not going to come from my charisma, on my skill or our programs or any strategic plan. But it will come from the living God who puts his word in our mouths to speak. Now, it's not that our programs or skills are bad in and of themselves. They're good. They have a purpose. But when we put our trust in these alone, in our ability to somehow drum up success alone, we can be assured only of burnout and failure. It is God's word speaking through us that will make ministry, that will make this church successful in the eyes of God. God has chosen this way. He, using our words, using our deeds, our hands and feet, through which to communicate his eternal and life-transforming word. And God promises to speak it. God promises to speak it. And we know this is true because he has spoken. And his word has taken form, made known to us in and as Jesus Christ. It is this message of the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us, who was crucified and risen, the gospel. It is this word that God has entrusted to the church, to us, to each of us. He has put it in our mouths to speak. And the promise is, when this word is spoken, the world will never be the same. The lost shall be found. The mighty will be cast from their throne. Sinners will be saved. The kingdom of God will be brought closer to our lived reality. All because of what God is doing, speaking his word through us. It is God's saving power for everyone who believes. Now, this reality that successful ministry comes through God speaking through us means that we're going to have to change our measures of success. We're going to have to retune our analytics because it will never look like the success which the world expects. It may not be new. It may not be entertaining. It may not be big. But it will be faithful. And it will be true. We can rest in that freedom, that it is not on our shoulders to make this thing successful, to make God's message relevant. And instead, we can spend our time proclaiming boldly what God has given us to say. We listen to God speaking. We pray that he will help us understand. And then we proclaim in season and out of season, in word and in deed, all the mighty acts of our God. This is what will make ministry, what will make our community what God intends it to be. We will still seem foolish to a world obsessed with relevance, but we know that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. We will still seem weak to a world preoccupied with power, but God's power is made perfect in our weakness. I think the theologian Donald Bloch sums it up best when he writes this. We must never forget that the hope of the church rests not on its own strategies and wisdom, but on the living God alone, who speaks and acts wherever his word is faithfully proclaimed, and wherever the prayers of his people are offered up in faith and repentance. My friends, God has promised to put his word in your mouths, to show you where to go and teach you what to say. So let us listen, pray to understand, and then proclaim faithfully in word and deed to this community and beyond what God has to say. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray our prayer of discernment together. Lord, show us your will for Hebron and how you are calling me to serve. Amen.
Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. O God who speaks, your word is truth and saving power. Wherever it is proclaimed, lives are transformed and your kingdom is brought near. Grant that we would be faithful bearers of your word, proclaiming in our words and deeds, in this community and beyond, your mighty and saving acts. Help us not so much to trust in our own abilities or programs or charisma, to make your message relevant, but instead to trust in the power of your word and Holy Spirit to touch our hearts and minds. Hear us now, O God, as we lift before you our prayers. O Lord of hosts, you created the earth and all therein. You formed humanity from the dust, made in your image. Bring an end to the divisions and violence of our world, and increase in us a love and respect for all image bearers, especially those who are most different from us. As our nation, Lord, looks forward to celebrating all the blessings we have with thanksgiving, help us to remember those who have little and move us to serve them as our neighbors in need. Lord, we give you thanks this day for all those who serve and provide services which help us in times of need and in our daily living, for firefighters and police, for EMTs, for mail deliverers and garbage collectors, for all those who help and serve. Help us to recognize that even these do great and mighty works, giving you the glory. O Lamb of God, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Secure in the promise of your grace and mercy, empower your church to share the good news and embody your kingdom, to be salt and light to the ends of the earth. We pray for our siblings in the Church of Sri Lanka. We pray that they may be agents of peacemaking and reconciliation in their nation, that you would preserve and protect them, that they may witness to Jesus Christ and love their neighbor in word and deed. We pray for our mission partners in Niger, for the Evangelical Church in the Republic of Niger, and for all their labors in witnessing to Jesus Christ. Especially, O Lord, we pray and lift up the schools, that you would bless them to be places of true knowledge and learning, where children may grow up in safety and security, in knowledge and in play. Especially, we pray for the over 80 students whom we have helped support through scholarships, that this may be the launching pad, as it were, into a bright future for each of them. Lord, we pray for this church, which you have called Hebron. Help us to see the new and exciting things you are doing in this community. And as we see what you are doing, help us to get up and follow, and so in word and deed in this community, be light, reflecting Christ's light to the world. O breath of God, breathe on us, fill us with life anew, that we may love what you love and do what you would do. Bless and comfort, we pray, all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Especially, God, we name before you those persons and circumstances which weigh heavily on our hearts. Holy and triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we commend these our prayers and all the prayers of our hearts into your hands, trusting you are faithful to answer. For we make them in Jesus' name,
who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In gratitude and faith, we offer up our life and labors to the Lord. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice unto God.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you pour out your gifts in abundance upon us, and so we give these our gifts and our very lives as a token of our gratitude. Help us to be good stewards of these and bless them for the work of your kingdom in the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
before you receive the benediction, I want to impress upon you again the importance of bringing canned foods anytime this week up till Wednesday, and especially Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. As you know, with recent going-ons in the world, the food bank has been hard-pressed to meet the growing need, and so they need our support. So I hope that you will bring gifts for them. Friends, God has promised to speak his word through you. Through you. And so pray that you would understand what he has to say, and so go out into the world proclaiming boldly the good news of Jesus Christ. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always, forever. Amen.